We got another great episode in store for y'all. We're going to be talking that new Tierra Whack album and some new music. We're going to talk about whether or not the music industry is at an inflection point. Taj has a hunch that we've been getting way too much good music. It's almost good too good to be true. Then we're going to hop into the club, Che Che Man, Future dropping. So we're going to be discussing Future self-titled, man, dropped in 2017. We're going to be doing a little bit of a deep dive, a little bit of a reflection. So, you know, whether or not you knew, go check us out on the IG, Unheard Podcast. Go check us out on the Twitter, Unheard Pod 1. Slim, thick, caramel skin, five, this bitch a 10. Her done, bills paid, catch me sliding in a bin. I ain't looking for no man, I ain't recruiting no new friends. When we back, fill with bands, gone sexy, do your thing. Get it sexy, get it sexy. Unheard Trend is back, where we drop our episode, we debate our topics, and it seems like Twitter, all of Twitter listens to the episode and wants to talk about our stuff. So, you know, shout out Unheard, shout out the cast, shout out the production team. Thanks everybody behind the cameras. You know, y'all really put in a lot of work too to get these topics for us. You know, the four bats that popped off, and then, you know, last week, Cash Cobain has been going crazy. Taj, you saw Cash, right, live?
I did. I went to the Offset concert. And Offset was like, you know, I'm in New York, got to bring somebody out. Right out Cash Cobain. it was mostly a male audience. So, like, you could tell the niggas were fucking with it, but they just didn't move. They were just, like, phones up. So it wasn't, like, the same energy. Then he brought out A Boogie. And I guess that got the niggas, like, jumping and moshing more. I didn't know A Boogie still got the pop like that. Like,
yo, A Boogie, low-key New York legend.
Wrestling type pop. Yeah, it was like The Rock came out. I was like, oh, shit. Like, niggas were going crazy.
You seen the Rimsky, the dance that everybody's doing to the
I did the dance.
The group chat. I don't know what's going on, man. I feel like part of me hates it because it just looks so nutty. Like, I'm going to think you're off, like, Angel Dust or PCP. Like, I'm going to think you're off something doing that dance. But at the same time, you know, I seen a couple niggas hit it. It don't look too bad of a dance, you know. And it seems
that's a sassy ass dance.
We can't stop it though at this point. I saw Kai Cenat did it on his stream. He had his I guess he was just playing Fisher. I don't think he had Cash on or anything, but he was doing the dance. So shout
if
out
the
Reams.
If you're 5'7" and you hit that dance, I'm looking at you different. Kai like 5'4", so he can get away with it. But if you're over 5'7", I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you said if you're a full grown adult.
Yeah, I think it's gonna take over the NFL. I saw the homie Greg tweet that it's gonna be in NFL end zones like all fall. We got to see if it has a strong going throughout the summer. I think it has a chance to make it to the NFL. But I thought the
I know we gotta talk about Tierra Whack, but you mentioned the summer. Summer's here. Summer's over. Sexy Red got the Savannah James cosign. That's like the you can cosign by like the queen of the
what
queen
did she
of wives.
Say, bro? She was like, it's time to play this all summer.
Exactly. You got the most buttoned up woman in the world to say, like, nah, you got an anthem, Sexy Red.
They said LeBron is doomed. If Savannah is running the Sexy Red, I mean, you can't blame her. She did it again. It's a hit. Like,
yes, it
most. Most importantly, I think it's one of those songs, like, I'll play it and you can't even just run it once. Like, you gotta run it back, or you hear a verse or a part of this drop. You're just like, nah, I can't stop it here. You gotta run it back. So I love the fact that she's restoring the feeling with that.
So this is one of those songs you hear for the first time and then you just find yourself like humming the fucking hook throughout the day and you're like, damn, I only heard this shit one time. How do I know this whole song already?
That's how I feel. It's like the ABCs, like, I've heard the song less than 5 times, and it's already in the back of my head, every lyric, everything. I got to hear it outside, though. That's got to be the real test. It might be a little bit of a struggle. I might have to wait like a month in L.A., but I feel like that's one that's going to do well. All right, man.
I believe
let's,
in it.
Let's get into the meat. Let's get into the thick of pause. Let's get into the thick. That's crazy. We got to edit that out. Let's get into the thick of the episode, man. I mean, Taj, you know, we had some label drops. You know, last week was Ariana for me. This week was Tierra Whack for Taj. How do you feel? You know, your label's first project, strong project. I mean, I love the creative. I love the music production. I thought it was a really strong first showing. I think you impressed a lot of people. I think people are looking back at like the redrafts and saying, man, where would Tierra Whack go in a redraft if this draft were to be a do-over? So. How do you feel? Scouts are raving about it.
I feel great. This is exactly what I want from all artists on my label. I don't care about like Billboard number one. Like, I doubt Tierra Wack's about to sell 200K or 100K or anything. But like, if at the end of the year everybody on my label dropped a project that I would happily buy or like happily listen to back again, then I think that's a successful label for me. And Tierra Wack did that. I've been a fan of Tierra Wack since 2018. She dropped the music speaks for itself. I don't have to run behind niggas and shiesties and claim.
Oh, from man.
I'm not just chasing what's hot. I chase the real music. But Tierra Wack is real music. Ever since that first project, the whole 15-minute demo thing, I was like, yeah, she's too talented to fail. So the whole question was like, can she do it for a full project? I think she did it. I think her biggest hurdle would have been like trying to do too much. And I think she did just enough. Like, she stopped it just before she started doing too much and like getting too weird on people. Like, it's just enough. I'm very happy with the project.
Yeah, I'm a merchant for all of like the genre bending. But like, you know, it's got to be tasteful. You can't just be doing different styles and different things stylistically with your songs just for the fuck of it. Like, I think it was a pretty tasteful kind of mesh of sounds on the Tierra Wack album. And this was like my first, I mean, I heard Wack World, but I don't think I ever gave it more than one or two listens. It wasn't one of those projects that like lived with me like a lot of other people. So I thought it was like a really nice introduction to Tierra Wack. I mean, I didn't know that. Does she produce as well? Or does she just...
She didn't mention anything about producing, no.
Maybe she just has a really... She's just locked in with her production, because it sounds like everything was... Although they were kind of living in different genres, they were all in that same world. Let me read off some songs. Obviously, like movies, like the album is listed like rap, you know, rap hip hop. But you had songs like movies, which kind of gives you that kind of like, you know, bubblegum pop, bedroom pop type sound. You never take me to the movies. Take me to eat. I'm a foodie boy. Enjoy. Shower song. I can't remember if that was like more like a more R&B style kind of
very
one.
Pop.
Oh, it was the pop one as well.
Yeah, it's like I sound great when I'm singing in the shower.
I sound great when I'm singing in the shower. Soap and water in the flowers.
It's like a very silly song.
Oh yeah, so there, right, because there was a little rap at the end with like Snake Eyes. That was a song I liked a lot.
Break a leg, what they told me. I just ride with my orgy. Did a deal with Adobe. Gold ring around the rosy. Roll a window down slowly. Let them know that he owe me. They call me the one and only. Hard times just mold me.
And then there was some rap at the beginning. Channel Pit, Chanel Pit, and then a lot of like R&B type stuff in between. So I thought it was just a good listen through. It's not too long, like what, 40 minutes. Definitely one of the strongest projects this year.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I strong. Agree, man. It was a strong project, strong showing from what's the name of your label, Taj?
Good Music. No copyright to Kanye. We're not paying anything to Kanye. We're just fully stealing the label. Just good music.
Well, I'm no limit, but there's no limit to what we could do. Your shit just good, but yeah, strong from Good Music. you know, like I think, you know, my co-host alluded to, a little bit of something for everybody, man. It's clear that she's, you know, versatile, talented artist, can, you know, hop in a few different bags. It's multi-talented, doesn't just write or, you know, doesn't just have good flows, can sing a little bit too, can make, you know, some of those R&B slower leaning tracks that, you know, that I tend to prefer. Accessible being one of them, one of my favorite tracks on the album.
You're way too accessible, and that's not acceptable, so I'm gonna have to let you go. You're way too accessible, and that's not acceptable, so I'm gonna have to let you go.
Really nothing but good things to say. I definitely need more time with it to know how I really feel. Like Vance, I heard Tierra Wack before. I'm familiar with her music, her sound. Have been the biggest fan. Her music hasn't really stuck with me up to this point personally. We'll see what happens with this album. But, you know, solid.
If you're not hip to Tierra Wack and you don't want to check the full 40 minutes, just listen through Numb through Accessible. That's an incredible stretch, grade 3 song stretch. But my label wasn't the only one to drop this week. I don't know if Vance is trying to do the whole Lil Uzi Pink tape and like kick this project to the dirt. Hope people don't know. But Laser Dim 700, Vance's last pick in the label draft, dropped Enjoy.
He did.
I listened to the project.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to give you the floor first. This is your guy.
So for Laser Dim, this is our Bilal Coulibaly. You know, he's a potential guy. You know, we're waiting on him to turn into Giannis. You know, he might not shoot the three, the best coming out of college. You know, he might have come from Europe. He might play a different style game, but we see a ton of potential, and I think that's just where Laser is at this stage in his career. I mean, this project came out. I was kind of waiting to see if he had signed and if this was going to be the first project that he had done with a label, but it seems like this is all music that he had already had collected because it still sounds pretty unmixed. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it was pretty, like, a lot of it was obviously like the aggressive Atlanta production with kind of just like this super fast, you could almost call it witty, rapping on a lot of these beats. But for me, just because of the mixing wasn't there, so much of those songs like aren't hitting how they're supposed to. The one song I will say that did sound really, really solid, and I heard some flashes of something, was Captivity. I really like Captivity.
Find out what the captivity. I might spend a whole disco deal on some pills. I just find out what that disco deal is. Know you safe when you bought down with a trench boy. And they try hard on my tape, but they enjoy. D4 nigga don't even know what they in for. Code hell outside, I gotta sneak and smoke indoor. Everything good on my end like 10-4.
I gotta sit with the project a little more. There might be some more things on there too. But I think this is, you know, this is summer league. You know, this is just where these are reps that, you know, you're just getting used to the game, just getting used to, you know, I think this is his first project dropping, period. He went to New York, had a listening party, had a show, you know, and he did pretty well. He looked comfortable in front of a crowd. So like I said, this is our developmental artist, and I'm just happy that he's dropping, period. Cause you know, you have some artists on some of these labels, I won't name any names, that, you know, will tease and do 20 different reruns of the video on the Made on the Block and the, you know, drop some EPs. So I'm glad that my artists are dropping albums. You know, we got two albums already, Ariana Grande, Laser Dim. I went back, listened to the Ariana some more, by the way. Chance was
trying to change the subject. We're still on Laser Dim. We're staying on Laser Dim.
I thought the music was supposed to be the talking. All I heard is Vance talking, man. You're supposed to let the music speak. Clearly, the music ain't speaking because Vance felt the need to overcompensate, man.
I don't have to overcompensate for anything. I'm just letting you know where we are, and I'm just letting you know that I would say we
you're in third place right now. Yeah, I wasn't stepping up over there. I'm going to keep it 100.
I don't know about first place. Laser Dim 700. Oh, yeah. We should talk about PND single. Well, first, let me say Laser Dim 700. He reminds me about, like, when Kevin Durant just won MVP and everybody was trying to draft the next KD. And, like, the Raptors drafted Bruno Caboclo, whatever his name is. They were like, he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. That's how it kind of was for listening to Laser Dim 700. Like, I get the pick. I get the potential. You hear him, you hear, like, Cardi's current sound. So if Cardi runs with that sound becomes a new popular sound. Laser Dim 700 already has a fan base. He's doing the sound. I see the potential, but he's 2 years away from being 2 years away. All right, we touched on my label, Vance's label, Chance, your label. Party Next Door dropped a single, Real Woman.
We're still just teasing, man. You know, ultimately we getting folks excited, man. We want folks to buy stocks before we IPO. But yeah, I mean, this is you know, the third of I don't know if these are the lead singles on the project, to be TBD. But Real Woman, man, you know, classic party stripper ballad. You know, he's in a strip club, fell in love with a stripper, the quote unquote real woman.
You're really selling the single, like.
And listen, I'm not the type to get up in arms about a single, man. I don't think the singles are moving the needle.
I'm with a mile that's taught me. The way she looking, she been eating hard wheat. I checked her book and she been busy for a week. She and the girls, I ain't even got creep. Do what she want, yeah. Everything she ever wanted, give me just what I want, yeah.
You know, this is what I would say, man. You know, I like the production, very reminiscent of the series, man. And ultimately, you know, we got P1, P2, P3, man. All, to me, arguable classics in their own right. They all hold their own weight, are all, you know, really good projects, really well-respected projects. Party has really never let us down. Some might argue he did on Party Mobile. But
I was let down on Party Mobile.
Outside of that, yeah, I mean, we had the entire series, man. We have, you know, the Colors tapes. So I will say, you know, I have high expectations, man.
How do you feel about this tweet? You mentioned Vance is rambling. You're rambling. How do you feel about this tweet? PND's career is exactly what The Weeknd's would have been if he listened to You Lot and made House of Balloon copies for the rest of his discography. Got very mixed reviews, that tweet.
So he's saying Party is who Weeknd would have been if Weeknd just kept redoing the same sound over and over.
Basically.
Party's cool just writing for folks, hopping on track from time to time, and, like, you know, dropping his own little shit, you know, every couple of years or so. So, yeah, I think, you know, from what I've seen on X, I think people are excited. You know, the women seem excited, which you know, big part of who Party makes music for. But, you know, I'm not going to act like I don't see the critics, man. I'm not going to act like I don't see the people saying that, you know, Party sounds better on other people's songs. Or I'm not going to listen to the critics, you know, who are sort of saying that Party sound is tired. Like, you know, you either love him or you hate him. All I will say is that I'm excited, man, and I will be let down if the album is not, can't stand next to the other albums in the series, man. I think that's the expectation. I think we should be able to talk about P4 in the same vein as P1, 2, and 3. And I'll leave it at that, man. We ain't gonna go too deep in the singles. It's just a single.
Liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'll leave it at that. I liked it. All right, I want to get Unheard.
Go ahead, play your artist, man.
Who, Tierra What?
No.
Slightly Unheard.
I mean, well, let's White. Get it then.
Listen to that whole album as a whole. I'm going to play. This is a guy I found last night on Cosign. His name is Legend Ye. I'll play one of his tracks. Oh.
What are you playing?
I don't know.
Play Confidential.
Trying to see which song I actually found. All right, I'll play Legend Ye, Confidential.
Oh, heart, you can keep it confidential.
I can give you my whole heart. Can you keep that confidence? It's been a real one from the start. I ain't never had that issue. And I've been picked up on Dracos. Been threw away my pistols. And I think I got like every drug for every kind of issue. And I think I got like every gun for every kind of issue. And I think I got like every slut for all my ops against me. And I know these niggas that want me this. I make it hard to get me. I'm in NYC, I'm off the radar. Give y'all time to miss me. That shit far, I made my heart bleed. Everybody had to give me. I don't even feel right without no gun on me. This shit here got me tripping. And you told me you love me first. I ain't believe it when you said it. I don't fall around, lost my feelings. Buried it right there under my bed. None of these niggas can't catch no vibe like me. These niggas ain't high like me. I don't give a fuck about none of that tough ass talk. These niggas can't slide like me. Like that night I fall around water beat. I fall around glide on it. No, it hurt you turn your back on me. You see me popping it. Yeah, I can give you my whole heart.
I don't know if you guys have been noticing. I'm sure you have been noticing. It's kind of like chaos in music, but it's also like a utopia. Like, I just noticed this throughout the week. I was about to let off a tweet like, damn, my music rotation is so potent right now. But then it was like, at the same time, you got people like tweeting left and right. Today was my last day at UMG. This is a sad day. It's just my friend, my colleague, my entire team just got the axe. I was like, damn, music is so great. So I didn't even tweet that. So it was just this like random inflection point of like, damn, there's a lot of good music coming out. But at the same time, you have people like James Blake and Kanye, saying, about music shouldn't be free. So I'm like, damn, am I reaping the benefits of the streaming era while also fucking over the artists I love? And at the same time, am I getting these amazing projects while also fucking over like the people in the industry who help bring the projects to life? So it's like these weird dichotomies going on of like, we're getting a lot, but at the same time, things are slowing down. And it's like, what's, I don't know, I'm trying to like theorize what exactly is going on. It just feels like music is starting to run more, at least like from the label side, they're starting to run more like these startups or even like Spotify, I guess what they were a startup at one point. But it's just kind of like they're just reducing the amount of workers, employees needed to get to like whatever access point. So it's like, I just saw this tweet from this like tech guy, Jason or whatever. He's talking about how like these S&P 500 companies, the amount of workers needed to generate $1 million in revenue. And it's literally just a slope going downward. Just a slope. It's like getting to less and less workers. And he's like, It's just gonna be there's gonna be a company that generates $1 billion, $100 million in revenue with 10 employees and 50% margins. And I think that's like the goal of what's going on with a lot of these labels. Like they're cutting off everybody in the content department. It's like a lot of these labels used to also own like your hip hop DXs of the world and like things like that. And they're like, so now like they're saying that's not really necessary. We can just fully say fuck that whole content side. And now all these people who are making money writing for these websites that were ghost owned by majors, they're going. And they're doing the same thing with like they're slowly chopping more and more teams and realizing that like only like 10 of people are really needed to get these projects out and everybody else is kind of exposable. And I don't know. It feels kind of nasty, but it's also like we're reaping the benefits because we're getting these projects way quicker, like faster, and not going through like the same checks and processes and like got to get approval from this person, approval from this person. This person has to sign off. But I don't know. It's just feels cycle, like we're bro. At a major inflection point.
Just expansion and contraction. A lot of these labels, there was a lot of free money that went around over the pandemic. Niggas hired boohoo people, expanded. Shit getting tight, margin getting tighter, contraction. It's that simple. And then it's going to happen again. That's just kind of the system we operate in. It sucks.
But Donald Trump giving us our State of the Union. Joe Biden giving us our economic report on the said it sucks. I love it. That's real.
That's all that's happening, man. That's happening across businesses everywhere. The music industry is no different from any other business. Profit is the needle mover. If you can accomplish the same amount you can accomplish with 10 people as you could with the 25 people you have hired currently, you're going to go down to 10 people.
And like we know this has like been their artist model forever. You know, we sign 100 artists and we only need one Travis Scott to keep the lights on for everybody else. So it's like we don't even really need to, in their eyes, put that much behind some of these smaller artists that they have on their label because they have these Travis Scotts. And it seems like that's just the model they're moving towards with everything. It's just a matter of like, is there a breaking point? And like, if so, like when that is?
That's exactly like why I think the whole James Blake tweets were important. Because James Blake, like in his tweets, everybody saw or like reposted the one of like the brainwashing work and now people think music is free. Everybody saw that tweet, but people kind of ignored like James Blake warning about AI and like how all of this leads to like the labels just trying to replace the artists with AI. Like at what point do the labels get to the point where they're saying like, okay, we don't need the content people. We don't need the marketing people. Fuck it. Do we even need the artists? Like at what point does the slope get to that point of the x-axis or the y-axis of just like how many people do we need? Like, can we just do this shit with, like, our own trained bot that has, like, listened to all of your music in the past, and now we're making your shit ourselves, like, as much as we want? Like, it's all just, like, how far does the slope go?
It's kind of relative. I don't know if you guys saw I was on Twitter. There's an interview with I don't know if she's a creator, but she's some type of either PR lead or some type of head, some type of high-level executive at Sora, which was like the video AI company that kind of dropped their video on Twitter a couple weeks ago. And this interviewer was asking her basically like, where is the data being sourced from? And she's just like, it's public, like all public, anything like in a public domain could be used as like data sourced for our AI creations. And the interviewer is like, so YouTube, like all YouTube videos? And she's like, well, I'd have to check. I'm not sure. She's like, so what about Google? Like any videos that are just on Google, period? She's like, yeah, well, like I'd have to check. But if they are public, like it's very well that they could have been used as data for this. So, I mean, if the same thing is going towards music, you know, we've talked about it on here, generative music and AI and how they're creating all these kind of fake, you know, sleep sounds and rain sounds and those type of quote unquote artists. It could get real tricky if there's not some type of limitations or, you know, consistent communication amongst those leaders in the industry that kind of have a say on this type of stuff. But I am confident that, you know, those conversations are happening. they just might not always be in the artist's benefit. You know, they might be.
Say, I know might the, be coming the conversation might be, that happened.
They might be coming.
I don't think they're good conversation.
They might be coming to get to devise some evil. They might be. I can't lie.
Yeah, man, this AI shit is scary, son. We've been saying that though for a minute. Ever since we heard of this shit, I mean, it gets scarier by the day. But
speaking of conversations, did you guys hear the conversation between Ye, Big Boy, and Ty Dolla Sign? Every now and then, it bumped in with a like two words.
I didn't hear. I didn't hear the whole thing. I saw the clip.
Yeah, I saw Ye interview was going around. Something about him.
So that's this week's influencing artist viral tweet. Yeah, one of the quotes from the interview. Ye said, "Quote: I invented every style of music of the past 20 years. I created this genre." I created the Weeknd's genre, Trav, Drake. Then he like paused. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Future and Thug also. It's called making your own money genre. And everybody's like, what, nigga? We were here. You did not invent all these genres.
Like Gucci Mane exists. Like niggas are racing like T.I. Like I get the sentiment of what he's saying. Like obviously like you were making the melodies, you know. You were the first rap, not the first rapper, but you know, one of the first rappers to embrace like that melody and those emotional type of topics first. But I won't say like to him, for him to claim like the, what did he say? What's the quote? Get your own money music. Like that's nuts. Like basically like trap music. Like I don't know if Ye had any influence in the trap music.
He's not a creator, but I feel like if you did like a music ancestry, you know, like you took all these artists and you did like a music family tree, like, you know, see where they came from, all the influences. He definitely got a few percentage points on, I feel like, you know, a wide variety of artists. But again, like there were people who influenced Kanye. So like, I don't know.
Facts. Yeah. I think you should use some better examples. But I mean, hey, we're talking about it. So I guess the quote worked, right?
I think Future and Thug is an okay example. He didn't create them again, but he definitely influenced them. Like, no doubt, Pluto 3D.
You niggas weren't listening to the 808s.
I was saying, yeah, very
like,
little.
Oh, I got to go and make I mean, go very little. Like, I got to go and make Dirty Sprite 2.
Just a byproduct, though, like the beats they was probably getting.
Beat sounds like 808s and Heartbreak, bro. Metro beat sounds like Say You Will.
Yeah, Kanye's a little
Draco
crazy.
Sitting in a book bag. That don't sound like
you do have I don't know if y'all saw though, man. I mean, I'm sure you did. We live in LA, rolling a lot, but niggas was going crazy over that carnival, man. I saw a video like the whole they heard the music start playing, the whole like I guess the people entering the festival just all in unison just jetted toward the stage, sprinted.
I think a lot of people were disappointed though. They thought it was gonna be a performance. It was just their little listening thing. So everybody was kind of upset.
Wait, they just ran to the album?
Yeah, they did like their listening experience type thing of just kind of standing there with smoke around them and masks.
With mask on.
Everybody thought it was going to be like performances and they never touched the mic.
That's hilarious. Because I saw there was buzz on Twitter that like the flyer was different. And they were like, everybody look at the flyer. Like it doesn't say listening experience. It just says Rolling Loud.
It was like, high-key Rolling Loud finesse.
We might be getting a performance. And it was like the Camp Flognaw mystery guest, and it wasn't Frank. They were like, hold on, bro.
What's the point of that, though? What's the point of just not performing the music, bro? Is it just kind of you trying to be different?
Scam. It's just a scam.
If you listen to the Big Boy interview, they talk about it, and it sounds like they're just bullshitting. Like, they were like, in a way, if you think about it, the smoke and the lights, that's like an opener for us. I was like, bro, what? Like, what are y'all talking about? Then Kanye was like, there's times you go to a rock concert, and there's just a drummer drumming, and there's nobody singing on the mic. That's like me standing there. I'm like, Kanye, what?
Like, okay.
That nigga off the rails, bro.
I get it. I guess I get it.
He just...
Yeah, can we talk about that real? Can we talk about that real quick, bro? Hold on, this is the funniest story of the week. So Kai Cenat bought some. He bought the $20 Yeezy, not Yeezy Gap at this point, just Yeezy sweatpants.
Like Yeezy pit.
And he bought the Adidas sweat and like the little.
Well, it's not Adidas. Don't get it twisted. It's not Adidas. I'm waiting for my order too.
I'm glad Kai Cenat spoke out. It's been like 5 weeks now.
Nigga, you ordered them fucking boots.
I ordered the pods, yeah. I want the pods.
No.
I want to see what they look like.
Oh, the boots? The socks?
Yeah, it's $20. Yeah.
Fair. Okay, hold on. I got to find the quote.
That's some flea market shit, boy.
Because Kai Cenat got on his stream, and he basically said, like, these sweatpants like don't fit, like these shit's wrinkly, like this shit, like in the nicest way possible.
I'm gonna pull up the exact words.
No, there's the one quote that's hilarious from Kanye.
Nigga said, don't make no jokes about my clothes when you ain't saying nothing about what Adidas is doing. When Vulture song came out, you ain't play my verse. You control. Don't play with me. I hear you, bro, but ain't no jokes was being said when I first opened up that package. I showed love instantly. All I did was try on the sweats and it didn't fit. No jokes made. I immediately asked for a new pair. Nigga said, so you ain't do nothing wrong? So I felt this way for no reason.
That's me crying. Just imagining Ye typing it.
Having
this realization.
Yes, all caps. Years, man. He said, fuck you, nigga. You was told to diss my shit. You a pawn.
And nigga quote tweeted and said, it's the 37-year-old with 17-year-old ops. Like, why you 37 beefing with a 17-year-old? Yeah, 47.
Is Kasha not really 17 still?
No, Kasha, like 22.
I'm about to say, jeez.
But it's just like a famous tweet.
Yeah, I mean, this we're going to leave it for now, but this Kanye fall from grace, bro. Like, I know he already had the documentary, but like the final 30 for 30 on this shit is going to be like, I think that shit going to be heartbreaking, bro, watching this shit back.
I mean, it's tough to say fall from grace when he has the number one song in the world.
Nah, nigga, it's been a fall from grace. I mean,
he said in the interview that there was a package that UMG artists get, you know, Lucian Grange.
Oh, yeah.
Gives to artists, and they get a package, and you get radio, and you get this nice contract, and you have to put out these albums. But he said it limits you from peaking on your few, like, you know, true potential and owning your music. And he was going to all these things basically as to like how that package was taken away from him once, I guess, you know, the Trump stuff started, and maybe before that, just controversy in general.
And yeah, he said Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, the Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is when that package was taken from him, and that's why the number one on Carnival, like, felt so important, because he didn't have that package and was still able to eclipse those other artists that are getting that push. Do you feel the way about that, or is it kind of whatever because he's Kanye West?
I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't understand, yeah, a bunch of times, love his music, but, like, some of the points he makes, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, you can't say fuck you to the industry a million times to be like, the industry won't help me out, gotta do it myself. Like, yeah, and you did it yourself, so now you get to say fuck you, but you don't also get to complain at the same time.
He's hypocritical on a lot of points, back and forth. I mean, definitely an accomplishment that Carnival went number one. I think I saw somebody post a graphic of like all the songs that went number one that Cardi was a feature on, kind of showing that, like, not that Cardi, you know, is making these records, but just an interesting pattern. I think Earthquake with Tyler was on there. I don't have the graphic in front of me, but there was a list of songs that went number one, or was maybe that artist's highest charting song. Maybe that was the graphic. It was their highest charting song recently. So yeah. I'm just letting y'all know, man, this is more label propaganda. Cardi propaganda getting pushed. You know, he dropped another single. I don't know if y'all listened to that. Ketamine.
I don't know what this rollout is. Is he supposed to going to drop a million singles, or anything's going to make the album?
I got to make a call. I got to make a call, because I don't know if he's dropping the album through the singles at this point, if it's just going to be a bunch of YouTube videos.
Yeah, no clue what's going on.
Gee, like, I like it, but I like it as a precursor. I don't want this to be the big bang, you know.
Yeah. Entire album posted on his burner Instagram, his spam, yeah, Instagram.
Opium account. Yeah, I don't want that. Love the single. I love the energy. You know, more deep voice stuff. I'm interested to see where these collabs go. I've been hearing like Destroy Lonely murmurs, you know, through the E Streets, Twitter and Reddit, different snippets, and I think he has like maybe a Quavo feature, which kind of just made me think of the idea of like, why haven't we heard more like cross-generational collabs between like some of these Atlanta artists? You know, we get a lot of Future Thug, Gunna, Baby Thug, Baby, well, not anymore, obviously, but like Baby Gunna. But, and then, you know, we get our Destroy Lonely, Ken Carson. But like, why don't we get like some more crossover in terms of like those generations of Atlanta artists? So I think it's going to be cool, one, to see like Quavo, and I think maybe Future was rumored to be a feature maybe on the Destroy Lonely project, or vice versa. being in the middle of that too, with maybe not just Carnival, but like a lot of these other type songs, because he has, you know, the Opium label is he's looking over that. I think it would be a unique opportunity for him to be in the middle of that generational cross.
I can see it. Prediction. I support it. He's also rumored to be on I guess we'll talk about this, Block 3, but they're starting to tease the singles for the Future and Metro project, and they tease the one with Cardi and Travis and Future. And I feel like it was one other person, but yeah, we're in a teasing
type era. Shit.
We'll see what happens.
That one?
Yeah. Yeah, type shit.
All right, we just getting unheard before we get into it? Yeah. You have anything, Chance? I don't have anything.
I'm going to tease the excitement, man. I'm going to play something from the future, bruh. the future self-titled, man, just to remind us, get us in the mood to talk about it. So yeah, not really unheard this week, but you know, I'm breaking rules, that's what we do over here at No Limit. Play that Might As Well by Future, all Future.
So I ain't have to scheme, raw diamonds on my team, fat raw diamonds on lean. I took out just like a rocket, I'm gone. I lost you on Hakeem, fat either way it goes. What? We buying out the stores. We ain't never run a lot of lean. Never. Might as well go and pour it. Racks busting out jeans. What? Might as well go and blow it. Fat. Smoke the loud like nicotine. Oh. Talk drugs, not record. Sure. Conversating, not absorb it. Deodorant, no informant. Perfect shit's got me going. OG coughing up alarm. Fat. They got a street story to tell you. It's already been done. Ammunition overflowing. Tears filling up a pun. AC blowing like it's snoring. I know I'm blissing, speaking tongue. My words touch your soul. They get you through it, overcome. Ride the boats in the ocean. I whipped the car, it was stolen. I got the star in the ceiling. I got my charge acquitted. I was the one, got evicted. Yeah, living with the pink slip. Now I'm riding with the pink slip. I done swim with the sharks. Came from the deep end. You would never know what I was in. Times are getting rough, we still get in. I was selling crack when Snoop dropped juice and gin. Rent a one room shack with a million in the den.
Yeah, man, we don't trust you. March 22nd. You know, in light of that, it's supposed to be a double album, side A type, side B type situation. With the second portion coming out a couple weeks later on April 12th. So, in light of that, you know, I thought we discussed the last time Future did this, man. Last time, you know, I really the first time I remember kind of getting double albums, quote unquote, that wasn't like a deluxe, like back to back releases in recent weeks. And that is, of course, you know, Future and then Hendrix. Future. We're going to be talking about Future today, getting into Hendrix, you know, next week or the week after before side B. But, you know, we all remember Future, man. 2017 release. It's the yellow album cover, the gold. It's like Future. Reminds me a lot of DS2, man. He's just appearing in, like, you know, out of the smoke. But first, I wanted to ask, you know, how did y'all feel about this project when it came out? You know, separate from Hendrix, we can maybe talk about how they play off each other later. But so yeah, Pitchfork rated it a 7.3. They said Future is an ambitious future exhibition, but replicating his brightest moments is often a hit or miss proposition. They went on to say prolificity. Is about excess, not just because it's a flex, but because it's always required giving more of oneself, almost too much. Both nonstop motion and overindulgence are in his DNA. Future, in many ways, unmasked Future. He's a creature of habit. I will say, I like that. I like that review. Because I would have to agree, man, on this first rendition of Future, I remember hearing it. And, of course, you had, you know, the smash hit. That eventually got a Kendrick Lamar remix and Mask Off. Of course, there was Draco. I remember that was you know, one of the bigger songs off this project. But I say for the most part, and of course, Fez to the Sweep. I think those are, you know, obviously three of the bigger songs off that project, three of the bigger standouts. But I think for the most part, it's hard to really pinpoint the moments on this project. You know, I think there are a handful, you know, outside of those songs that I personally enjoyed. I played Might As Well earlier. I think that's a really good cutoff diss track. Just a really great Future song overall. I'm So Groovy, which, like the name implies, make you want groove a little bit. POA, another track I enjoy off this record. and even out of time. But for the most part, this is not the future project that I go back to. I don't think this really stands out in his discography. I think it was solid all around, but again, for what we got later, for what we had on those earlier projects, there are not like the huge club banger hits on here, but they're also not like, you know, I'm not really learning anything new about Future, right? I don't have those like just those same iconic moments I feel like you get on, you know, all his other projects up to this point. But how do y'all feel about it?
Nah, yeah, you're tripping. This is easily one of Future's best projects, I feel like. I feel like it's also one of his most, like, I feel like you learned some of the most about Future on this project, I will argue. Like, in terms of, like, Apple talks about it in their description. They say, like, depending on the track, he's the party starter, the ladies' man, the hustler, or the hedonist. Like, it's like you get all the different sides of Future on this project, and a lot of the production, like, it lives in that same trap world, but it's a little bit more meticulous in terms of like the pockets he's hopping on, like how he's using melodies when he's, you know, using his deep voice and rapping. I feel like it was I'm not gonna go as far to say like a magnum opus or anything, but it felt like super grand, this project, when I first heard it. Now, obviously, like, I'm a Future fan too. And this was like a pivotal time coming off of, you know, that 2015, 2016 run. And people were waiting. I feel like people were waiting for music around this time for him for a while. I don't know when the Purple Rain EP came out. I feel like that might have been way earlier too, but I feel like the project delivered and only got better with time.
I don't know. I'm a rebut that, man. I don't think it had a lot of depth.
Well, damn, we know. You said it.
Not only that, but I thought it was just a little superfluous too, man. Like, just a little bit too showy for me. Just
it's a great word,
you know,
by the way.
I think the production, you know, probably mass. Like, a lot of songs just didn't feel like nothing new to me. It just felt like, all right, like, this ain't really much different.
Listening
at the time, yeah, at the time, and even I think even listening back, like, these are, again, the ones I mentioned, I think, are standouts, and it's not a bad project. I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that, but compared to, you know, what had came before it, and then what would come after it, I think it easily gets lost, especially considering that this was like,
yeah, it's, you know, crazy.
This is the self title, but that's just my opinion. How do you feel about it, Taj?
I remember when it came out, I listened to it. I like. Maybe a few songs, and then once Hendrix came out, I never touched self-titled again. Like, I only listened to Hendrix, so I don't know. But I also admit, like, I'm just not the biggest fan of like that type of Future. I'm much more rather like the singy, like, trying shit Future. So, like, even on like this project, the ones I liked the most was like Chance Said, I'm So Groovy, and I liked High Demand. I liked tracks where he was like doing different shit. I don't really care for, like, Trap Future that much, just because I've heard so much of Trap Future to where it's like, all right, I don't really... Like, I've heard it a million times, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when, like, Hendrix came out, it was such a, like, whoa, this is the type of Future I've been wanting, and it's in bulk. But I'll save that for the Future Club Chat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Try to step back off of that, because I think that's probably, like... I think, you know, let's pretend Hendrix never
came
out.
That's what I was trying to sort of pretend. Like, niggas just grading it unfairly. Like, I hear what you're saying, but it's like... At the time, nigga, all we had before was like DS2, the mixtapes. You feel me? Evol. Like, you can't tell me that.
No,
like,
even some of them earlier cuts, though. Like,
okay,
man,
yes. Obviously, I'm just saying, in terms of like what was the last shit that dropped, that was it. And I'm like,
what a time.
Those are great projects. But like, you can't talk to me and say that like What a Time had more depth and like talked about more shit than this. Like, absolutely not. That was straight party music.
Like, I just remember being really excited for the project because I was like I really liked the Purple Rain, like a lot of tracks off Purple Rain. So I was really excited
was
for the
fire.
Project. And then it was kind of like he's kind of going back to like his safe place almost with this project.
That's what I'm saying.
Which I get it. It's a self-titled project. So like, I got it at the time and I get it looking back. It's kind of, honestly, if that's your lane, you like it. If that's your lane, I see why you like it. If that's the type of Future you like, I get it. Like, he's giving you, I understand why it's the self-titled project.
because it was stronger than Evolve to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was stronger than Evolve.
Which was the last.
That was just a little Apple Music Rush, little mixtape.
I mean,
type
yeah, you can move the goalposts, but I mean, the facts are the facts. It was better than the last Future album that he dropped, so that's why I was happy about it. And then, you know, he had dropped Hendrix the week later, and it was like, oh, okay. It puts this one into perspective more, where it's just like, that's the R&B side, it's the trap side. Two different.
So have any of these songs had staying power for you? Like any of these, like living your playlist?
I can go back to a lot of these, and I mean, like I don't listen to a ton of old. You know, I listen to a lot of new music generally, but like, yeah, a lot of these are in like my Future playlist in terms of like favorite Future songs, or like if I were to go back to like Future albums, I wouldn't say this would probably be like top. Between his albums and mixtapes, it probably wouldn't be top three, but it'd probably be right after that.
Albums and mixtapes?
Yeah, only because like the mixtapes I can't judge as fairly. They're almost like half points because they only have like they just have less songs on them, so there's like less stuff I would want to go back and revisit on those projects. But in terms of like best song on each project, it's weird with this project because like. Mask Off isn't my favorite song ever. Neither is Draco, which is why I think I like the album so much, because there was so many what at the time felt like B-sides that were really, really nice displays of like Futures. Like Feds to the Sweet was really nice.
And that's how this album feel. Like it feel like the album itself feel like a B-side. Like it's a whole lot of volume, but
like, what did you want, like, hits? That's my thing. I guess there weren't any, like, hits that were, like, I mean, like, Mask Off was a hit, Draco was a hit. I don't think they were quality hits to the level of other Future's hits. But I think in terms of just, like, his just rapping ability on there and, like, a lot of the pockets he was in, melodies he was in, I think it was a really, really solid album.
I don't know. I just kind of seen Future do everything he did on this project, but to, like, magnitudes better is my whole point.
You can't say that.
Even before, I will say that. I can't say that.
He had a song like he had a Feds Did a Sweep before.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Feds, there were a few standouts that I'm giving him that were like, yeah. But I'm saying for the most part, like a bunch of this stuff was like,
a lot of the
I'm not gonna call it underdeveloped or half baked, but it was just like, again, and that's what he was trying to get off of the subtitle.
I'm not trying to say that it was all hits. Like some songs on there for sure, like Zoom. Message, or what was it? Massage in My Room. Message in My Room. Can't remember what it is, but yeah, some of those were definitely like reps that we've seen before. But I do think, I mean, it was also a surprise album too. You kind of have to take that into context. There wasn't like a ton of build up for it, so when it dropped, it was kind of like, okay, I'll take this. The niggas didn't even have a lot of time to enjoy it either.
So you would call it. You would call it. You would put it in that top half. I would say. You know,
top
this is
the catalog. I think above Save Me EP, above.
I mean, it might not be fair, but I like Save Me more. Exactly. I could probably ring off a number of Future projects. I know for a fact I can name off a number of Future projects that I would take over this one any day of the week, at least five or six of them. So to me, this personally lives lower. It's not one I revisit much. But I don't think it's a bad Future project. It was just a safe Future project. And get those every once in a while.
Super safe.
I get it. It felt like kind of like a recap project of like.
Exactly.
Because if you look at like Chance was mentioning the run Future was on. Like just going. I'll go back like from Monster, I guess. Monster, Beast Mode, 56 Nights, DS2, What a Time to Be Alive, then Purple Rain, Evolve. It's kind of like you can see there's like four classics in there. And his fan base probably like tripled in that time frame, especially after the whole Drake album. And this was his first album after, like real album after the Drake album. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a reintroduction of like, you probably weren't with me back then, but this is what I'd kind of do. That's kind of what it felt like. It's like this is Future basically.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
It's a cool project.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, bringing it back to... you know, sort of the double side. I guess we could wrap up with that because we are getting the album next week. But with that, knowing what we got last time, and again, we're going to get into Hendrix in a later episode, but, you know, the Future is kind of like the recap. Bunch of shit I did before, and Hendrix ultimately was, you know, him really leaning into to that more, I don't know how to explain it, but him, it was a bag we had seen him explore before, like the R&B Future. But he really did that for a whole tape. What are y'all looking for with like this double or these two projects from Metro and Future. I guess features wise, to an extent, what are you maybe expecting to be the difference between one and two? Are you expecting full length, 15 to 20 song projects each, you know, 30 to 40 total songs? Like, just expectations or wish lists, you know, where y'all at?
I think it is the features thing. That's the whole A side, B side split. That's my guess, just based on like what I've seen of like one Cardi teasing his feature, then Metro like tweeted no features. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, are you saying Cardi lie? So my guess is kind of like there's one side is that is just Metro production, Future rapping, and then the other is like Metro production, Future leading, then a whole bunch of features.
That's which one guess. You think come first, and which one would you want to see come first?
I would want the no features one first, just because, I don't know, I feel like that's more potent. And then for that second one, you're probably going for like anthems and like Run the Summer type shit. So I'd rather get the potent one first.
It's like the deluxe vibes that we were seeing, yeah, a lot in like pandemic, the double albums that dropped, like the deluxe that dropped the day after the album, and it's like a whole nother album.
It's kind of like what Uzi did with Eternal Take, I think, when he was just dropped. The first one was just all him, and then the second Dash Deluxe was all those features.
Do y'all want? I don't know if I want. I don't want that many songs, man. I think maybe 15 max on each side.
We're not getting on each side. I want 10 max on each side.
Yeah,
I think if you're gonna do it a true double album, if you want to feel like a true double, you probably got to do probably like 15, 12 to 15,
30 songs total.
I feel like that's what they're gonna do. I feel like 12 to 15 on each.
Give me 12 and I'm cool. That's I'm cool at 12.
Yeah, I think 12 is nice. So y'all think it's going to be... Are you in agreement with that, Vance? Like a feature split?
Yeah, because I definitely know that they've been teasing like the album. I mean, it makes sense because they've been teasing the album before where it's just like them two in the studio locked in. And I feel like very recently we've seen like people hinting at like features or having features on the project. So for them to break it up like that would make a lot of sense, because before I even knew it was a double album, I would have just assumed that there was a lot of solo stuff on there and assumed that there was a lot of feature stuff mixed in, just like a classic regular album. But the fact that they're splitting it into a double album, I don't know. Like I said it last week, I don't know how else they would split. It's not like they could do it like last time and one's R&B and one is rap. You know, it's all Metro. So it's like, there's not too many ways it could get split down the middle. So features, no features.
No, I feel like Metro does have that versatility. And that leads to my next question.
Just not for a whole album.
To what extent, you know, I hope personally, like on my wish list, man, I don't want to see the usual suspects just fill up the feature list for these projects. Like, you know, I'm expecting to see some of them, but, you know, I want to see Future, you know, get out of his comfort zone. Work with some different folks, man. What if we got like a Future James Blake on this joint? Future James Blake and Metro. What if we got something like that, you know? We seen Future work with SZA, man. Bring her back, maybe, man. What you know? Miss those days. So
Future, SZA, and Metro is nasty.
All right, man. Is that it? Anybody else got any wish lists, man? Expectations? This is huge for my label, man. Everybody sort of had a release.
I don't want to gas it too much because I want to enjoy it. If I gas it too much, I'm afraid I'm going to...
Yeah, I'm trying to go in with as little expectations as possible and just hopefully be surprised. Not even surprised, just hit with how good the music is because I had no expectations.
I think that's a good way to go into it.
I'm rooting for your label.
I think that's a way to go into it, man. Yeah, I'm obviously rooting for us too, man. You know, I think... You know, we'll know more next week, so make sure you're tuned in. Make sure you come back, revisit. We'll get into it.
Other projects we'll probably end up talking about next week. Sarah's dropping Heavy, and Tyla's dropping her debut album. I think it's self-titled Tyla. She also just dropped the track list. There's a Tim's feature, a Gunna feature. Yeah, we'll probably talk about those two albums too. So follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can get the notification ASAP. We sometimes have trouble, you know, posting the socials, so you can get that first if you just follow us. You can avoid this whole conundrum just following us directly on the platforms, and you'll get the notification. Yeah, that's it. That's my last words. Download Cosign 2. Cool update coming. I've integrated AI into the app a bunch. So now there's AI in every corner. So suggestions are better, more potent, onboarding smoother. Some hardships are easier. So yeah, fun stuff.
Love Great. It. Great episode.
All right, I'll close it out. This week, I'm pushing more propaganda. I'm going to play Virgil 2 by OT7 Kwani.
I'm making racks, not friends. We turn your boy to a string. FN57 both hands. Louis shirt cost me a grand. I play the block like Bam. I sell more food than a stand. I'm in a sprinter, just me and the Brodies. I'm about to shoot this shit up, hold my rollie. I made this bitch for LA's like a goalie. Got 30, look like a hoagie. Nigga, we get the drop, we gon' smokey. Bitch, I'm the goat, mix with Snake. I turn a 4 to an 8. Yeah, bitch, I'm back like Mace. Bring his hand back, leave his face. And I just been chasing a guap. You niggas chasing a twat. I'm not a Christian, but I get you cross. I blew a check, I just fucked up the mall. Virgil LV jacket, I need a small. Small. Nigga, you stay from the boss. I drop this bag at you off. Look at my wrist, Jack Frost. My money long as a sloth. You want the show, send the racks in advance. I can't get you, then we clapping your man. I can fit 3 holes in back of the Benz. I can fit 3 killers back in the van. I counted 50K flat in my dance. 223's birthday is skin. G like, what's that in your jacket? This a G-lock and it hold like December. I touch more paper than printers. I up this burner, he turned to a sprinter. Look at my wrist, this bitch feel like the winner. I'm getting guap, I ain't worried about bitches. Ran that shit up, LA Fitness. We get the drop, we spinning. I'm about to slide, I ain't going a minute. Play with the zoot and you dumb. I ran up like 50 a month. Brand new car, move like a horse. We got more guns than a force. I make one call to you torched. We why the city got morgues. I ran through like 20 was bored. And this bitch hang on my hip like a sword. We hit his head, won't show no remorse. If the outside, we gon' shoot up the porch. I been getting guap, what you mean? I still got hundreds, that's green. Lil bro came back with a ring. This that get back, what you mean? Niggas get for the team. 3 auto bros on the beam. Look, cause he's winning again and again. I'm making racks, not friends. We turn your boy to a string. FN57 both hands. Louis shirt cost me a grand. I play the block like Bam. I sell more food than a stand.
Podcast over, dog.